Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, is one of the main sources that describes what life will be like in the Messianic era. It can be broken up into three parts. First part is about the ideal leader, and this is Psukim Aleph through Hey. The next section describes the ideal world, Psukim Vav through Tet. And then finally, the Kibbutz Galio, where Jews from all over the world will be gathered together in Jerusalem. The ideal leader is described in Pasuk Aleph as a shoot that will grow out of the stump of Yishai. Yishai indicating that this leader will be part of the Davidic monarchy. The stump appears to be cut off with no more growth, but then, shockingly, it will sprout again. This description actually brings us back to the very end of Perek Vav, chapter 6, where Yeshayahu predicted there that though the Israel will be burnt like a tree, this tree will still have a Zera Kodesh, a holy seed that will sprout again. And here, while there in Perek Vav, this pasuk was applied on a national communal level, that there will still be regrowth even after the tree is burnt down, here, this pasuk is applied on a leadership level, that from a stump that looks like it has no future will come a new regrowth that will flower into this idyllic leader. This leader will have strength, wisdom, and Yirat Hashem. In pasuk Dalet, he is described as Vishafat b'tzedek dalim v'hochiach b'mishur la'anvei aretz. That this leader has the characteristics of justice, and therefore he will judge with righteousness dalim, even those who are poor, those who are vulnerable. And as we discussed earlier in Yeshayahu, it's particularly the most vulnerable in society who lose out when there isn't a just system. So here Yeshayahu speaks about the characteristics of justice that will be exemplified by this leader. And also in Perek Aleph, when Yeshayahu called the people to task for this quality, for the quality that they're lacking of justice, he said that it's the leaders who will bring us back to this element, and that's exactly what he's prophesying here. He continues by saying that this leader, the actions of this leader, v'hika eretz b'shevet piv u'beruach svatav yamit rasha, that this leader will hit the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the wind or of the ruach of his mouth, he will root out or kill evil. Now the end of this pasuk describes the power of this leader's words to achieve his goals. His words will achieve the same effect as if he used his physical power, reminiscent of leaders who were able to achieve so many of their goals without resorting to the power, either the violence or the strength that they could have resorted to, and instead using their words, bringing to mind almost like some more contemporary leaders, even someone like Abraham Lincoln, who was able to use his words to motivate people and affect change and justice. Coming off of Perek Yud, our last Perek that we studied, Assyria was described as Shevet Api. Assyria was the rod of destruction. They reached their goals with violence. Here, in contrast, this leader will also be mighty, but he'll affect change through his mouth and not through violence. This theme of the lack of violence is continued even more strongly in the next group of psukim, starting with Pasuk Vav. And here, famously, Yeshayahu describes the idyllic state of the world. Vigar ze'ev im keves, v'namer im gedi yirbatz, v'egel ukfir umeriyachta, v'na'ar katon noheg bahem. And the wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf, the beast of prey, and the fatling will all be together, and there will be a young boy, a little boy, herding them together as their shepherd. And he continues, uf. The cow and the bear will graze together, their young, their children will lie down together, and the lion, just like the ox, will feed himself with straw. Now, over the millennia, These psukim have been debated fiercely. Should they be interpreted as metaphor or should they be understood literally? Rambam, Maimonides, argues that these psukim should be understood as a metaphor, famously stating that during Messianic times, Olam kiminhago noheg, the world will follow the nature, the natural way that it always follows. Nature will not change. Things will look the same. Animals will still have their inborn nature, meaning that animals of prey will still be animals of prey. What will change? Change will be that there will be peace. No longer will nations of the world fight each other. Now, this makes a lot of sense in light of that, the way that this section closes, because in Pasuk Tet, it said, the Pasuk reads, Lo yareyu v'lo yashchitu b'chol har kadshi. There will be no violence or destruction on my holy mountain. Why? Ki mal'ah ha'aretz de'at Hashem. Kamayim layam mechasim. The whole world will be filled with knowledge of God, which will cover the world like water, meaning water fills up every crack. You can't stop water's flow. That will be the way that the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. And if you think about it, most wars fought throughout history centered around religion. Right? Even in modern times, religion is a source of so much of our conflict. Even places that are not in a religious war are still, religion becomes a major source of conflict. Exemplified, for example, by contemporary book, Jonathan Haidt, book called The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. The root, the deep idea in this pasuk is that the unity of religious belief and the prevalence of belief in God will take away this battle that we are so used to between people and nations. Now, the Rambam's naturalistic perspective here can also be applied to the earlier psukim that describe Mashiach. Will Mashiach himself have supernatural qualities? And Maimonides, right, true to his idea, argues that no. Mashiach will be someone who's learned and ethical, religious and spiritual, a true leader, but not someone with supernatural qualities. However, there is a different lens to look at these psukim. According to Ramban, Nachmanides, these psukim are describing a change in nature and one that takes us back to the beginning of times, to Adam and Chav in Gan Eden, prior to the sin. At that time, everyone, including animals, right? Everyone was vegetarian. This was the idyllic state that we'll go back to. Rav Kook actually has some similar ideas where he discusses a turn towards vegetarianism in the times of Mashiach. Now, one of the fundamental debates here between Rambam, Maimonides, and Ramban, Nachmanides, is what vision do we turn to when we think of a utopian time period? Should we be looking backwards to the past, to a more pristine or idyllic time? Or should we be looking forward to a future that incorporates progress, but progress that came along with pain, sometimes self-inflicted, and suffering? The Rambam's perspective can be jarring, and it actually reminds me of a visit to Machon HaMikdash in the Old City of Jerusalem, the Temple Institute, which focuses on what the Third Temple, the Bayit Shlishi, would look like. And in part of their work is creating kelim, the tools, the vessels that could be perhaps even used in the Third Beit HaMikdash. But in the last room of the museum, they have artwork that depicts what the times of Mashiach, the times of the Third Temple, might look like, but surrounded by buildings and technology and, you know, cars and, you know, all the progress that we're used to. And on the one hand, it feels exciting. It's a world that I can put myself into. On the other hand, I think that there's... I certainly had this sort of uncomfortable feeling like, will Messianic times really look like, have the physical trappings of what our world looks like today? And this is really the heart of, I think, the fundamental debate of the medieval Parshanim, but also the way that we think about Messianic time period. Now, the end of the parak describes a third stage, which is the return of the Jewish people from all corners of the earth where they've been oppressed and scattered. At that time, as Yeshayahu describes, Yehuda will no longer oppress Ephraim. Ephraim will no longer oppress Yehuda. And this rivalry between the children of Leah, right, exemplified by Yehuda, and the children of Rachel, exemplified by Yosef, will end. Just as there will be peace between us and other nations, perhaps just as importantly, we will finally achieve peace within ourselves. In closing, this perek, describing the days of Mashiach, can be interpreted in two ways: as a miraculous leader who heralds a miraculous time, where we look back to the idyllic time period of Gan Eden, or to a more natural time that in certain ways bears more resemblance to our own days. While either of these two paths are open, one thing this perek does assure us of is that Messianic days will be a time of internal peace among the Jewish nation, peace among the nations of the world, and universal recognition of Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.